From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in John chapter 16 and verse 32. Ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Few had fellowship with the sorrows of Gethsemane. The majority of the disciples were not sufficiently advanced in grace to be admitted to behold the mysteries of the agony. Occupied with the Passover feast at their own houses, they represent the many who live upon the letter, but are mere babes as to the spirit of the gospel. To 12, nay, to 11 only, was the privilege given to enter Gethsemane and see this great sight. Out of the 11, 8 were left at a distance. They had fellowship, but not of that intimate sort to which men greatly beloved are admitted. Only 3 highly favored ones could approach the veil of our Lord's mysterious sorrow. Within that veil, even these must not intrude. A stone's cast distance must be left between. He must tread the winepress alone, and of the people there must be none with him. Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee represent the few eminent, experienced saints who may be written down as fathers. These, having done business on great waters, can in some degree measure the huge Atlantic waves of their Redeemer's passion. To some selected spirits it is given for the good of others, and to strengthen them for future special and tremendous conflict, to enter the inner circle and hear the pleadings of the suffering high priest. They have fellowship with him in his sufferings, and are made conformable unto his death. Yet even these cannot penetrate the secret places of the Savior's woe. Thine unknown sufferings is the remarkable expression of the Greek liturgy. There was an inner chamber in our Master's grief, shut out from human knowledge and fellowship. There Jesus is left alone. Here Jesus was more than ever an unspeakable gift. Is not Watts right when he sings, "And all the unknown joys he gives were bought with agonies unknown"?
He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised on the cross for all my sin. He bore my sorrow. He bore my grief. All of sin's penalties were laid. Why this little town? For the King of kings and Lord of lords to leave his heavenly crown. Born in a manger low, a king, how can it be that he came to earth in humble form to save a wretch like me?
Have you passed a church that displayed a sign which read revival during a given set of dates? Yet how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Down through the centuries there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis, including Duncan Campbell's own account of that, as well as personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. To obtain your own copies of what happened at that time, just request the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
Thank you.
As he proceeds with these studies in the Epistle to the Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called Saints and Sinners, Infallibly Identified and Eternally Separated. The text is Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6, in which Paul draws the distinction between those who are after the flesh and those who are after the Spirit. After the flesh is a reference to the natural, unregenerate man, whose mindset is controlled by the fallen nature he inherited from Adam. By contrast, the man who is after the Spirit is controlled by the Holy Spirit. His main interest is in spiritual things. He seeks to live for Christ, and every area of his life is guided by the gospel. In expounding the teaching of this text, Dr. Cairns emphasizes the radical nature of salvation. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit of God to transform a hopeless sinner into a person who loves the Lord. It is an act of divine creation. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, Saints and Sinners Infallibly Identified and Eternally Separated.
There are two kinds of people, regenerate and unregenerate, saved and lost, justified and condemned, in Christ or in Adam, new man by grace or old man by the corrupt nature that has come from their first parent. There's the great divide that's running through humanity today, and that's the divide that's running through this church tonight. Now, there is a very clear way. Second great teaching of the text. A very clear way of discerning our spiritual state. And it's declared by your mindset. Paul says if you're after the flesh, your mindset is the mindset of the flesh. If you're still in your sin, your mindset is the mindset of the flesh. What does he mean? He says you are controlled by, interested in, pursuing the interests of only the old, unregenerate, degenerate nature of corruption and sin that you got by birth. That's the mindset of the flesh. No matter how cultured a man becomes, no matter how educated he becomes, no matter how rich he becomes, he never rises above that level. But on the other hand, he says the mark of those who are regenerated is that they're after the Spirit. Controlled by the Spirit, the whole mindset is different. What they mind are the things of the Spirit of Christ. And when you look at it that way, you can cut through an awful lot of man-made garbage and verbiage. So many people, and they have religion, but that's all. They have a religion of externals. They may profess to be evangelical. They may profess to be reformed. They may profess to be fundamental. Whatever the profession, it's all on the surface. Many of the reformed like to poke fun. And actually, it's a whole lot more than fun. Sometimes with bitter mockery. But the evangelical and reformed are the fundamentalists who will have people walk up and down the aisle, kneel at a penitent form, whatever. It's beneath the dignity of the reformed. But those same reformed have a religion in many cases that is so ritualistic, so empty. Baptize that baby. From there on, all he needs to do is recognize he is a child of the covenant and he's in. I want to tell you, God's salvation is not in externals. Though it will touch the externals, but God's salvation is a deep and powerful, radical change. The whole core of his being what controls how he thinks, how he judges, how he looks at things, is now the Holy Spirit and what he has in Christ. Now, if a man's after the flesh, this text shows that that's a state of utter and awful ruin. I tried to take the time to prove this to you. It's to be without God. It's to be without Christ. It's to be without the Holy Spirit. And Paul says to the Ephesians, that's to be without hope. You leave God out. You leave Christ out. You leave the Holy Spirit out. You begin to understand what it means when it says you're dead. This goes a whole lot deeper than just outward actions. This is the alienation of the soul from the life of God. And this is what brings you under sentence of death. Now you look around today, saints and sinners can be mixed up very easily. They can be sitting in the same church, one beside the other. You may mistake one for the other. You remember the Lord Jesus said that there was wheat sowed in the field. The enemy came and sowed tares. One looked so much like the other, he said, let both grow to the harvest. I want to tell you, that's a scary thought. That is a scary thought. A scary thought for any preacher. You look out in a congregation. We can't read hearts. We're not the judge of conscience or soul. You look out in a congregation. Those words ring in your conscience. Let both grow to the harvest. They're not all going to heaven. They're all wheat. It's easy to mistake one for the other. You see, if somebody looks like a Christian, walks like a Christian, talks like a Christian, tells me he is a Christian, I can't see what he really minds. I have to accept him as a Christian. But God doesn't. You see, the Lord penetrates beyond the outward, beyond the lips of profession, beyond mere behavior. There's something that distinguishes a believer from an unbeliever, that not only distinguishes them now, but it will divide them for all eternity. To be after the flesh is death. To be after the Spirit is life. One leads to doom forever, the other leads to glory forever. The ruin of sinners, great. That leads me to say that for a sinner to be saved takes a work so radical that only God the Holy Spirit can perform it. You see, salvation is more than people deciding, quotes, for Christ. Now, don't misunderstand. And God works a work of conviction and grace in a person, the first proof of regenerating grace is that that person freely, fully, totally decides for Christ, chooses Christ, accepts Christ, receives Christ, and is totally from that moment all for Christ. But salvation is more than a human decision. It's more than a decision for people to live better. It's more than a decision for people to accept a certain set of doctrines and accept a certain code of behavior. Now, see if people will accept a certain set of doctrine. You can't be saved to deny the Bible to be the Word of God. You can't be saved to deny the Holy Trinity. You can't be saved and deny the deity of Jesus Christ. You can't be saved and deny the blood atonement or the bodily resurrection. You can't be saved without accepting certain truths that are absolutely fundamental. Christians will accept a certain code of behavior. I abominate that corruption of Christian profession that makes it a glory to be as like the world as possible. Salvation is more than a decision to live in acceptance of a certain set of doctrines and codes of behavior. Salvation is a deep inward miracle of the Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians 4:6 likens it to the creation. We read in Genesis chapter 1 that the earth was without form and void. The Spirit of God moved upon the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And Paul takes that statement and he says, God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's a new creation. Now, only God can create. Only God can create. Never forget that. And only God can save. That inward miracle, a new creation, the act of the Holy Spirit of God in bringing to life a soul that was dead, making that soul a new creature in Christ. Now, the difference between this modern religion of mere decisionism, and it's everywhere, you know. It's everywhere. One famous preacher who's now gone on to his reward, so I'll let him remain anonymous, used to send his people out, tell them how to go soul winning. Tell them how to get into conversation and how to rifle quick questions at people so that the answer to every question would be yes, 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 yes. And then, in his words, slip one under the belt and ask them, would you like to be saved? And before they know it, they've said, yes, they pray and they're saved. They're not saved. Know nothing about it. Salvation's not a psychological gimmick. Salvation's not some playing around with people's brains. Salvation is a work of God. What a difference between this religion of decisionism and the religion of divine deliverance. You know, what a man decides to do, he can decide not to do. What a man decides to do, he can decide to change. And unfortunately, that's the problem. All around America, we have people and they're deciding, I'm going to do this, I'm going to believe that, I'm going to be the other thing. And then they decide to change. When the Holy Ghost regenerates a man and unites that man to Jesus Christ, that man never can and never will turn away from the salvation of God in his Son. Oh, he may fall. He may even rebel foolishly. But as he does so, from the very depths of his being, there will be a knowledge springing up within him that he's contradicting the very thing that he is. Paul said, it's no longer I, but sin that dwelleth in me. John Gill, the great Baptist theologian and preacher, who was one of Spurgeon's forerunners in the Park Street pulpit in London, said, you are not in the flesh. Flesh is still in you while you're in the body. The world of difference, you know. Great Baptist preacher there was right on the money. Christians are not in the flesh. They're not governed by the flesh. But the flesh and the appetites of the flesh and the opposition of the flesh is still present with them. Yes, sadly, they feel. But even as they feel, there is that within them that can never let them give up Christ. That's why Paul, in writing to the Hebrews, speaks of people who give up Christ to go back to animal sacrifices and says, there's no hope for you. That's apostasy. You were never saved. You were never saved. Anyone who's saved will never cease to be a believer in Christ. And anybody who can cease to be a believer never was one, even to start with.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.